Welcome back to 90.7 FM, the Friday afternoon show. I'm your host, Noah Reibel, and I'll tell you what, I'll introduce it this way. The New York SAFE Act, which is the Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement Act of 2013, was passed on January 15th in both the state Senate and state assembly, and then the governor signed it. And the new gun control law has been called one of the toughest, or the toughest in the nation. It makes it a misdemeanor offense to own a high-capacity magazine over 10 rounds. It makes it illegal to buy a gun with a magazine capacity of more than 7 rounds. It does a bunch of other things. Hold on over here while I pull that up. But Greene County this past week joined Rensselaer, Warren, Fulton, Washington, and Hamilton counties, all in passing measures opposing the SAFE Act gun control law. And so we're joined in the studio, and I'm really happy you were able to come by Wayne Spienberg. Do I have that right, Wayne Spienberg?
That's correct.
He's the chairman of the Greene County Legislature. So Wayne, tell me a little bit, what motivated you guys to write up this measure opposing the passage of the SAFE Act? And is it mostly just going to have a symbolic value as taking a stand against the law?
Well, Noah, there was, you know, outside of the storm and on the mountaintop a couple years ago, I've never seen constituents so upset over, the way the gun law was passed. They went to bed at night and got up in the morning. We had a gun law. And number two, many of our constituents, instead of majority of them, believe it's an infringement upon their constitutional rights, Amendment 2.
Well, and I wanted to ask you in particular, the legislature passed it almost unanimously. I think there was only one no vote on this bill opposing the SAFE Act. It was Vince Seeley, right? So my question to you is, considering how high this is in sort of the public's mind right now after the Newtown shootings, is there gun control legislation that you would favor? Can you imagine any gun control legislation restrictions that you would favor? Or are you opposed to any kind of gun control law?
Well, I'm opposed to anything that would, in fact, be what I consider a violation of the Second Amendment. You know, I don't want to minimize this. We have issues. The Connecticut issue certainly is a tragedy. I remember watching it and tears rolled down my eyes. But if anybody really believes that this law is going to just turn the switch and violence is going to stop, they're totally mistaken. That's not going to happen. This law infringes upon the good sportsmen and gun collectors, and they're getting victimized by a law that infringes upon, in their belief, their rights to have a gun.
But the polls consistently show that both Americans nationwide and particularly in New York, Americans and New Yorkers favor some sort of action taken by government to help stem gun violence. I think if you grew up in a neighborhood in New York, in Detroit, in Los Angeles, where gun violence was just a steady drumbeat, I think that I read a fact on PolitiFact that there are 33 gun assault episodes every day. It's daily. And with those kind of numbers, lawmakers seem to be saying we must act. We're being called upon to act by our constituents. What do you really feel like that simply nothing should be done?
Oh, absolutely. I do think something should be done. But if you look at crime, most of them in the city, and I'll take Chicago for one of them, which has got the highest crime rate of any city, they have the toughest gun laws maybe in the world, and which they have the highest violence. I actually think that you need to address why this is all happening. And the fact of the matter is, I don't hear in the conversation at all about videos that our children are watching day to day that has violence in them. I don't hear a discussion at all with regards to movies. I saw one the other day, an advertisement, A Bullet to the Head by Sylvester Stallone. But yet, after he makes the movie, he comes out and is a activist against gun violence. They have something to be playing here. But I also think we need to sit down and have a good conversation by experts. I'm not an expert by no stretch of the imagination. In fact, I don't even have a gun permit or own a gun. But when we take office, we're sworn to uphold the Constitution. When I talked to you earlier today, I thought one of the good things in this law was mental health, the issue of mental health.
But right, there is, just for our listeners, for the purposes of our listeners, there is a provision of this gun law that requires a therapist who believes a mental health patient has made a credible threat to use a gun illegally. The law requires them to report the threat to a mental health director, who would then have to report serious threats to the Department of Criminal Justice. That's one provision in the law.
Right.
So we were chatting about this earlier.
We were, Noah, and I never give it a thought, but our mental health director just sent an email to me yesterday, and she points out a very good thing that we need to have a discussion on, and that is what will happen now. And mental health, because most violence or many violences are from mental health, they're pretty smart people that do this. That's well calculated out. And if they know that their name is going to be submitted, they're going to go back into the closet. And there's very deep concerns now that people that would have that tendency or have mental health issues are somewhat worried that their name is going to come forward or they're going to be identified. And our people think that there's a possibility that they'll go in the closet or they'll be very much more secretive about their feelings.
So they'll be reluctant to seek help if they need it. I know on the issue of video games and movies, that's come up in the conversation. But again, when people start talking about legislating around entertainment or popular entertainment, it begins to infringe on another sort of sacred freedom to Americans, which is the freedom of speech. So you either have people worried about having their freedom of speech curtailed or having their freedom to own a gun curtailed. Maybe just for the listeners' purposes as well, I'll mention a few other provisions of this gun law. And if you hear something that raises a concern, you can mention it.
Okay.
So one provision, it redefines assault weapons. I know it expands the definition of assault weapons. And prohibits the sale and ownership of them. It makes the unsafe storage of assault weapons a misdemeanor. It mandates a police registry of assault weapons. It establishes a state registry for all private sales. I think the only kinds of sales, private and gun shops, will all have to be part of a state registry. The only kind of sales that are not included in this would be sales to immediate family members. I'm not exactly sure what that's about or why that is. It bans the internet sale of assault weapons. It requires stores that sell ammunition to register with the state and run background checks on buyers of bullets and keep an electronic database of bullet sales.
That issue alone is a major issue, and because to do a background check on an individual buying ammunition, you know, I don't see it as a problem that they sign and you get identification and they register the purchase of it, but the background part of it, they'll go across state lines to get the ammunition, to be quite frank about it. They won't go through that process. So you're just driving away good people to do possibly stuff that they shouldn't be doing or wouldn't be doing.
No, I mean, I've heard the argument made before that one of the, for people who oppose gun control laws, one of the arguments is often that this won't stop the sale of guns on the street or illegal sales of guns. It's just going to make it more difficult for people who would responsibly own guns to buy and sell and use their weapons.
I think that's a good argument. Most weapons that are done by and deaths that are done in the streets in our city, most of them don't have those guns registered. They're either bought from a friend or a friend of a friend.
But this law actually addresses that in one of its provisions. It says that when guns are stolen from, I'm guessing this is from a shop because you can't, I'm not sure how you would enforce this among individuals, but requires that stolen guns be reported within 24 hours. Otherwise, the owner of the gun could face a possible misdemeanor. That's how it was described in the news, but I'm sure that they're talking about guns stolen from gun shops or...
I would hope that they would report a stolen gun, regardless of whether you're a business owner or an individual. I think that should be.
I think the issue they were trying to address there, Noah, is individuals, unscrupulous individuals who legally own guns and sell them, and then if the police find them, they just claim that they lost their gun and or you know it was stolen, or so they want to hold them these people responsible if they are illegally selling their guns and then lying about it.
That makes more sense. That makes sense to me. There, one of the controversial provisions of this law is it requires pistol permit holders, anyone even owning a pistol, will or those who are registered as owners of assault rifles, because I guess people who owned assault rifles are grandfathered in, but they have to register their assault rifles. They have to recertify every 5 years to make sure they are still legally able to own the guns. So there's a rolling every 5 years.
To me, when somebody gets a pistol permit, there is, and in Greene County, we have a whole department that does background checks and everything to get and acquire a permit. And I'm glad you brought that up because I have some concerns. We do a very good job, our sheriff's department, because we know our employees and our deputies are within the county. They know the people. Moving it to the state police, to me, and I'm not saying bad things about the state police, but moving this program under the state police, state police aren't around the county for their entire career where a deputy sheriff is. I feel very comfortable about our sheriff's department and the way they conduct a background investigation. But putting a recertification every 5 years, I don't see the purpose of that because there's laws there now regarding anybody that commits a felon or whatever. They lose their permit and their guns are confiscated.
Yeah, and I've also heard about some police officers complaining about the amount of either time it will take to train officers to enforce the law or that the paperwork is going to wind up being time-consuming and take officers or state police officers off the street. I guess the response to that is, of course, that any law, any kind of law or any attempt to curtail or any kind of legislation on gun control is going to require some enforcement, and that enforcement is going to require training. So if you can't take the officers off the street to train them for anything, then you can't pass any kind of law, you know?
Well, from the training aspect, you know, our deputies are trained all the time in law enforcement, there's mounds of paper. I find it interesting that the confidentiality part of it, of owning a permit, they now require the permit holders to sign a form that they don't want to be on the public list. They should have done it differently. They should put the paperwork out who does want to and protect everybody that has a permit from what happened down in, I think, Westchester County.
I think that was a response to what happened in Westchester where a newspaper published
the names of all
pistol owners
but,
on public registry.
But wouldn't it make more sense, you talk about paper and environment and things, wouldn't it make more sense is fill out a paper if you want your name? Why don't we protect our permit holders from having their name published, an address of holding a permit? Don't make sense to me, and I think it leaves them vulnerable to violence upon themselves. So,
well, we'll go. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Wayne Steenberg. He's the chairman of the Greene County Legislature, and he's talking about a measure that the legislature passed opposing the New York Safe Act, which is a new fairly strong gun control law that was passed in Albany statewide on January 15th. So it's about a month, a little bit, we're about a month into it. And I think a lot of the provisions kick in the middle or towards the end of March. So we'll go away for a second and listen to some music, and then I'll come back and just ask you a few more questions, if that's okay.
Okay, Noah.
All right, thank you.
In our county, we're pretty much rural county, Noah, as is Columbia and the North Country, and Delaware, Schoharie. They hunt. We welcome in people from quite often every year during deer season. Many people come up from the city to hunt in Greene County. And there's more of a presence here of hunters and sportsmen of hunting. That we represent, and they feel that they're being penalized by this gun law, but and their Second Amendment rights to have their weapons, because they're really innocent people. They don't do violence. It's violence in Greene County is not of the same aspect as we talked about earlier in the cities.
I guess so, but I think responsible gun owners, even hunters and sportsmen, would say, listen, I don't need an AK-47 with a 10 magazine round to go hunt deer. Since I'm using my gun responsibly, I'm perfectly happy to register it. they could say, they might still feel like, well, it doesn't matter if I register my gun responsibly, because most of the hunters I know around here, you know, they get their hunting permit that they have to hunt legally around here. So they're already involved in a bureaucratic process where they have to get a permit. If they have to register their gun, they'll probably register their gun. They'll register a muzzle loader, but they don't necessarily need a multiple round or assault weapon. And there are, I recognize there are sportsmen who might want to target practice with an assault weapon in a somehow licensed target gun shooting target range. I wonder if there's a provision in the law that makes it possible to just have that kind of activity go on just in target ranges, so that there's no reason why anybody would need, you know, an assault weapon outside of a maybe a gun place where you can shoot at a target on
under
on
this
the
law
site.
Under this law, no, a lot of those guns that most people look at AK-47 or those kinds of guns, but there are a lot of hunting rifles that fall under this that are common amongst hunting. Now, again, I am not a gun enthusiast, but it goes to the trigger loaded, the way they've got the law written. A lot of hunting guns that are common will be done away with. So the perception of a military style AK-47 or whatever, it goes beyond just that one weapon or two weapons. It goes deeper into the hunting weapons.
It's interesting, because I think you're right that gun owners, sportsmen who feel like the government is unfairly targeting them, are aware that they're, you know, they're responsible sportsmen who go out and hunt deer. But surely they watch the news, and at this point they must be aware that there are neighborhoods, inner city neighborhoods, or neighborhoods in even smaller cities. I used to be a reporter in Holyoke, Massachusetts. There was almost every week there was a shooting. And you're right, it wasn't people who are going to now register their guns. They were mostly shootings around people running different corners in the city.
Well, but yeah, drugs is a big part of
it was mostly,
yes,
that kind of business and violence around that business. But I think that there's a level of frustration right now in the country after an incident like Newton, and it happens after every one of these incidents in Aurora in Colorado, where the population is sort of saying we won't stand for it any longer, and the government and the legislators have to act. You know, we've sort of come to that level, and unless you're going to try to make it a patchwork thing where different local laws are very different depending on the population, it's hard to get a
You kind of lose trust in your government. I believe they should sit down. This law was written in the back rooms up in Albany, presented to the legislators late at night to vote on, and they didn't have a chance to read it, and they were required to vote on it. Do you think you lost trust of your government by acting that way? I don't think that that's the way that we should be acting. I know we don't do that in Greene County. When we did this resolution, we went through a whole lot of steps.
No, I think Cuomo probably recognized that this is a highly charged, politicized issue. He felt like he had the momentum at his back because of what was going on around Newton. He knew he had the votes, and he pushed it through because that's just...
It was an overreaction, not given a lot of thought, quite frankly.
Right, and they're already talking about amending some of the provisions that have become... that have been raised around police officers owning weapons that may off duty when they're off duty that may fall under
or on duty
of this law.
Quite frankly, they weren't even thought about in this law, and that's my point. If they had presented something and not rushed this thing through, and sat down with people of mental health, law enforcement, people that have knowledge in the different areas, and presented it that way, people felt that they could have had input into it. But you lose trust of your government when you do things this way with this essential thing. And it was an overreaction. It mattered not. They could have waited a week or 2 weeks to get it done and conducted things, because as you said earlier, a lot of these laws don't take effect yet. So what difference would have made 4 or 5 more days and do it in the open?
Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Wayne Spienberg. He's the chairman of the Greene County Legislature, and the Greene County Legislature passed a measure opposing the New York Safe Act, which is a gun control act that the governor and the state senate and assembly passed on January 15th of this year. Wayne, Greene County joins 4 or 5 other counties in our area in passing similar measures, and I'm curious, what kind of influence can passing a measure that's largely symbolic have on the state level, or what are you hoping the outcome will be? Or what's the idea of passing a measure like this?
Let me frame it this way. In Greene County, we got 14 townships. If 70% of those townships object to something that we did, we'd have to take another look at it. And I'm hoping that our government, our state, has wakened a sleeping giant. Most sportsmen don't get involved in politics, hasn't been involved in politics. So I'm hoping, and I think it's up in the 20s now, counties of New York State, and many more pending. I hope that they will listen and change this. That's our hope. It's more than symbolic. It's a point that we said we shouldn't have done this.
Well, and I think it points to how passionately both sides feel about this. Ironically, you know, there were a number of polls taken right after Newton that said that nationwide Americans want stronger gun control legislation, and in New York State as well, there were polls showing a vast majority of New Yorkers wanting stronger gun control. At the same time, after this act was passed, and the way it was passed, quickly, over a day or two, Governor Cuomo's approval rating, I read, went from, I think, a high, sky high of like 70% and has dropped down to somewhere in the 50s. He had a double-digit drop in approval, and that's how strongly I think people feel around this issue. It's one of those issues like abortion that becomes an issue that people vote around, you know?
Well, there are two sides to every issue, and I understand that people don't agree with my vote and don't agree with me. I respect them, but I also was sworn to uphold the Constitution, and I'm going to do that.
Okay, well, Wayne, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and talk
about it. No, I appreciate you having me, and
I think this will be part of a continuing conversation, so hopefully maybe later on we'll be able to have you on with someone who wants to pry the gun out of everybody's hands.
You got a nice little setup here, Noah.
All right, well, thanks.
Thanks for coming by.
Stay tuned. We'll play some music. We'll be right back with more news and events and weather and what's going on in our region over the weekend.